Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
I'm sorry, I have a cold this week, so you can hear. Do I sound different?
Slightly, but not so bad.
Okay, but I look
you
good.
You start with a better voice than I do, so it...
No, you know, it's funny you say that. People always say to me, oh, whenever I'm trying to promote the show to people I know, they listen and then they go, yeah, Eric's got a great radio
really?
Voice.
That's nice.
They all say that. And then they don't say anything about me.
I feel like I can barely talk in real life, but I think when you have a microphone in front of you, you sort of try harder.
You lift your game, yes.
Yeah.
All right. So.
More about that later.
Yeah, but anyway,
first of all, you know, some people might not know what Mars is. So okay. I need to give some basic facts.
No,
you know,
please do.
I performed some research, okay. I.e. searched the internet, looked at Wikipedia. Mars,
Can I say something before you launch into that?
Okay.
I'm very distressed that you said I searched the internet. I always give people credit that you just know all this stuff. Whereas I'm the one who admits I found it on the internet.
I sometimes I'm just confirming my existing knowledge.
Okay.
But I'll tell you actually some of the things. So in the course of reading articles about this gravity wave, which we'll come back to in a second, I saw one of the most interesting explanations, which actually dates back to Einstein. So it's not like a new explanation.
And we covered Einstein. If you go back to our 2013 best of show, you can hear us discuss Einstein's theory of relativity.
His explanation about it was it isn't that the two things attract each other in the way we think of like a magnet.
Because, and I don't mean to cut you off. When I was a kid, I always assumed gravity was like a big magnet in the earth, which was why I couldn't leave the earth.
Right.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not being facetious when I say that.
You think of the fact that two things pull towards each other.
Right.
You assume they are doing it to each other.
Right.
Like there's something in this that grabs hold of, there's something that grabs in the earth that grabs hold of your feet and your and holds you to it. Right.
That's why people always say, yes, if Superman can fly, he can, anyone who can fly is defying gravity. So just in the way that we talk about it on a daily basis, there is a sense that it's something that pulls you down to where you stand.
Right.
So obviously, if you're like me and I only use science when applicable to my life, it's like a big magnet in the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know.
Right. So, but what Einstein said is
and if you're out there and you claim that you've never once thought that, then you're a liar.
What Einstein says is it's really not right to think of it that way. What it is that all mass has an effect on what they call time-space. I get really confused when it gets to the time part, so I'm going to leave that about. But let's just say the fabric of the universe, so to speak.
If you're on the train in a station next to another train and the other train is leaving, that's Einstein's theory of relativity.
We're not going to go to that again. We did that. We've done that another episode. I'm sure that people enjoyed it quite a bit. So his point was...
It's the Atlantic Voice Podcast, and I'm Zeph. And with that pause, long-time listeners have just figured out that whenever we start the show with a gap in our standard intro, well, it means that I'm alone without my partner, Eric, here in the new basement studios by the lake, and that this is one of those highlight shows which we roll out from time to time. In this case, hitting the bell, you've already heard the bell, it's the 2016 Best of Special. Now, to start this year's special, we thought we'd just throw out a couple of clips demonstrating just a little bit of ourselves, our sonorous voices, our knowledge trawled from the breadth and depth of the internet, and an obsession, a pride almost, in having only a rudimentary understanding of scientific principles. Now, I know what you're thinking. These best-of shows are nothing more than an excuse to repackage some old stuff and just bung it out there when we're too lazy to do a new show. But they do have a raison d'etre. Yeah, some French for you there. I mean, it's a chance to get all our bon mots in one place. More French, rather than some lazy compendium of reheated bonbons. All right, I've completely flogged that bit of smart arsery. Best ofs are ultimately years in review. So let's look back at some of the biggest events since last summer. Now, if you're the Atlantic Voice, have I just referred to my partner and myself in the third person? Then one of the most important events of the last year was Star Wars The Force Awakens. Now, it's a little sad that two men of indeterminate middle age spend an inordinate amount of time talking about a film which seemed to be about itself. At least that was my point.
is the film any good? I guess we're going to come to our definitive.
Right, okay, so
but it is a terrific film-going experience.
Right, so this all gets to the question of which people who do critique and people who like it who say critique is, it seems a little familiar, doesn't it? Right?
No, it's good. Okay.
the notion of the poor individual youth desert planet. No, it's just the basic. We're gonna set up the straw man to knock down, or at least I'm gonna knock it down. I don't know what you're gonna say about it, but like the notion is here's the person on the desert planet, no less, right?
Why don't we just play, like Luke the first time. No, let's play a what? Game. Let's play a game. I'm gonna ask you. We're gonna go new Star Wars or old Star Wars, and I'm gonna name something, and you're gonna tell me what Star Wars movie is it from. Okay.
Sure.
Character wearing white pajama, billowy costumes, living on a desert planet.
Both.
Is that old Star Wars or new Star
it's
Wars?
Both.
Both.
It's only a 30-year division. It's the same place.
Cute robot sidekick that does something and hangs out with the lead character.
That's right.
New Star Wars or old Star Wars?
That's right. Both.
Both. Villain wearing all black with some sort of basic speech impediment. New Star Wars or old Star Wars? Both.
Speech impediment. Oh.
The villains, once again, have gone with a massive planet-destroying structure that looks like a massive planet. New Star Wars or old Star Wars?
Yeah, it's both.
Both. Some character has some issue with their dad. New Star Wars or old Star Wars?
Yeah, both. But
that's a quick question. Because you don't know that he's his dad until the second of the old Star Wars movies. When you watch the original Star Wars, you don't know. Anyway, so there you go. That's the trick question. Yoda-like person in the movie. New Star Wars or old Star Wars? Both. What do you call it? An older figure who's an older archetype figure who sort of takes
are
the hero.
Are you using Max von Sydow for this one?
No. Harrison Ford and Obi-Wan Kenobi are the same character.
No, they're not even close to the same character. But, all right, so...
That's what I'm saying. So the issue with the film, this is why I give it all the credit in the world for being a great movie-going experience. But is it a good film? No. J.J. Abrams is... I said at the time J.J. Abrams is a hack. And whether it's his fault or not, this film is a hack of itself. And if this film was called anything else, we'd be all over it. We would be put in the boot in no end.
No chance. No chance at all if it was something else. If it was something else.
It is a cheap ripoff of itself. Have you ever heard that expression that if you put 100 monkeys in a room and give them typewriters, one of them might type Shakespeare?
No, that's not. This movie the saying is an infinite number of monkeys
if you put
will type Shakespeare.
If you put an infinite number of monkeys in a room with typewriters and threw them a copy of the old Star Wars script, one of them would cook this one up. One of those monkeys would come
it's
up with this
It's an infinite number
one.
Of monkeys, so they're going to put together
whatever,
everything.
But that's my point.
They'll
this
put
is,
together a duplicate.
This movie was done by a monkey with a typewriter.
No, that's ridiculous. So that's like saying, you know, which James Bond movies have James Bond captured by the arch villain, almost killed, and yet he escapes? All of them.
No,
which James Bond movies have a love interest who gets knocked off partway through the movie and upsets him? All of them, right? So that doesn't make the movie bad. There are themes to movies.
But here's the issue here, that Star Wars, the new Star Wars didn't take the old characters and just do them over a la James Bond or Superman or Spider-Man, which is basically the same movie over and over and over and over. What it did was it took the old plot.
Yeah, which isn't that better? I mean, first of all, realize.
It's not better and it's not worse, but no one should try and tell me that it's not the same thing.
Well, but realize the original plot is like a classic hero's journey type plot. You know, the reluctant warrior gets called to battle, says no, ultimately does this, triumphs, wins the day.
You know, I've heard a lot of this that somehow the original Star Wars echoes some great, like you've just said, some classic plot.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other movies that have that plot.
No, they're like fairy tales, essentially.
Okay.
You know, or legends. And that's the point, is that you're going to get recurrence. Now, I find more interesting is like literally the fact that it's on a desert planet, but they aren't the same. I mean, like she's all by herself there, and the other one, he didn't want to go. She goes off on her own. You've got Finn. I mean, the idea of a stormtrooper A guy who's defecting. I mean, that's a fascinating story in and of itself.
Yeah, which
a guy who's on the bad side, who then comes across and now becomes, you know, the helpful person to the. There's nothing like that in the original Star Wars.
Well,
but I don't. But I don't even need to defend it by its differences. There, people certainly you can look at in their differences. The point is,
sure, I'm not saying
it's a classic theme.
Okay,
now. Now I'm gonna back off on something here.
Okay.
But I said the end result is still it's good. But I don't know how you go through all this and say it's not a good movie. But we'll come back to that.
Oh, Don't worry. I'm gonna support my viewpoint.
Well, you already have. Like I was saying,
it's not a good movie because it is unbelievably derivative of itself.
And but that doesn't mean anything. No, I mean, there's lots of like good movies that are derivative of other good movies.
Sure.
The thing is, it's funny that you say that.
It's derivative of itself.
The funny thing is that if it was anything else, people would put the boot in. Are you mean in a world that there was never a first Star Wars? Because if there was never a first Star Wars and this movie came out, it would still be fantastic the way the first Star Wars was. People would be excited about the story because it's a very good story.
Well, that's the interesting thing.
Now, it's enhanced by the fact that everybody's primed for it.
Well, but that's interesting. I don't... In the same way, remember in our last show when we talked about the books that I read and we talked about how you can't read the novel Fight Club if you've seen the film... You never get to read the novel Fight Club sort of in a virgin fresh. The interesting thing what you've just said, though, is, and I can't decide, I'm never going to be able to evaluate Force Awakens on its own.
Right, you can't.
Because you can't.
Right.
And because I've seen the old one, and again, I give the film all the credit in the world because it made me feel warm. It took everything, I don't know, it reassured my relationship with the first one.
Right.
And it did that by basically dressing up as the first one. It's a remake of the first one.
No, if it was a remake, it would be a remake.
It is a remake. It's a remake down to the fact that plot twists are all the same.
No,
one dude gets whacked by his dad. Somebody's got, I don't know, somebody's dad, and then someone's related to someone else.
Who got whacked by their dad?
Han Solo got whacked by his dad. Spoiler. No,
that was his kid.
His kid, sorry. The dad gets whacked by the kid,
all that said, right, it is intentionally, it is not a remake. A remake would be easy. They could have rolled a remake out, in fact, you know, and maybe they will someday run a remake out.
Do a remake now. They've already redone it once.
No, but it's clearly ticking
the box. They're going to make a third movie that's just the same?
So the point is...
All right, let me ask you a question. Did you think that hard about The Force Awakens? Well, thinking and talking about cinema is one of our touchstones. The current summer movie preview, that's for 2016, can be found up on the blog. And the last year saw the release of the latest James Bond film, Spectre. Or should that be Spectre? That's my Sean Connery impression. Now, while Eric loves his Star Wars... I love James Bond. Maybe it's because of my own good looks and charm. Unfortunately, though, I for one was underwhelmed by the franchise's latest installment.
I was nervous about this film. For some reason, I was just nervous about it. It was making a few dramatic decisions that I wasn't thrilled about. I was quite nervous about it. But I was kind of glad I was nervous about it because historically, when I've been hyped up for films, again, Prometheus... When I actually go, I'm really disappointed and I come out angry. James Bond, the latest film with Daniel Craig, who I think is a terrific James Bond, it was able to break the mold of I was not hyped up and I thought, well, if I'm not hyped up, then how can the film disappoint me? I wasn't hyped up. The film disappointed me completely. Right. So again, James Bond is important.
So thematically, why would you have said it disappointed you?
I thought the film was a bit of a mess. It's an interesting thing. I don't have an issue with some of the story choices. I don't know. Spoiler, James Bond is related to the villain. Now, at a certain level, I'm not one of those people, and we had this discussion about
it. Well, you know, it was really hard to tell. This is one thing, like, particularly in the first half of it, they were saying these things, and I'm like... I don't know if I'm just tired or what. I'm not getting it. I mean, clearly it's supposed to be a thing. He's got this picture with him in the skiing outfit. And then it wasn't until the end I was like, oh, I see.
That's an interesting thing. I'm not one of those people who gets too caught up on what is and what is not canon. But obviously, James Bond, the film series, is based on at least 14 original novels by Ian Fleming written 50 years ago. And there is a whole universe for that modern word that we use for all things to do with the subject. There is a whole universe of films and continuation novels and all types of things. So it's quite a big decision when you start drawing backstory that the original novelist chose not to do. It's a bit like deciding that the Batman and Joker are twin brothers when whoever first created Correct. Those characters didn't make that decision. But you are correct. I was nervous about that. That's actually not the problem I have with the film, because it just sort of seems hidden in the background. And it's like, well, if you're going to make that claim, why are you even bothering?
Yeah. Like it was like there was an idea that
that was sort of half
they didn't hidden. They decided we weren't that committed to it as a thematic idea, but they didn't throw it out either.
They didn't throw it out either. But I wasn't bothered by the idea. I was just bothered on I thought the action was kind of lame. I think the film is paced very poorly.
I
think the action was
lame. Boy, I thought that opening chase, the helicopter thing.
The opening 10 minutes of the film are terrific. That long 4-minute tracking shot, which actually isn't. It's actually four.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually 4 1.5-minute shots. But, an interesting pre-credit action sequence was quite good.
And the snow chase, was that good?
I thought the snow chase was kind of lame. I thought the car chase was kind of lame. I'm not joking. It was a funny film in that... Funny is the wrong word. It was a strange film in that they had these big set pieces and then long stretches of people sitting in rooms talking to each other. And I didn't quite... I can't believe I'm about to say this about a James Bond film. I didn't quite really get what was going on. And I really didn't care. Oh, the pain of fan disappointment. You can feel it in my voice, can't you? Still, Spectre did make a lot of money. But not as much money as a film from last summer, Jurassic World. Here, from our November summer movie scorecard show, my partner and I tried to put Jurassic World into some sort of historical perspective. And I mean that. It's one of the films I was quite excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot about it. I remember, it run a classic TV campaign. It looked like this was going to be pretty good. I went to see it. I enjoyed it. I took some teenagers. They enjoyed it. You sit there, you munch through your candy. You have some pretty decent special effects. I find it interesting that they believe that this movie... There's going to be another one, obviously, because it's made over a billion.
We should say it's made, just domestically, it made $650 million, and that's on a $150 million budget. I mean, it just crushed everything else this summer.
That number it's mind-boggling to me.
But maybe it's a testament to the lack of options for this summer.
It was basically Jurassic World redone.
And Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, originally from 1993, which I want to talk about.
We can
this element right to something here.
Go.
Well, so what I think we thought it would be a success, right?
But yeah.
I think the reason it was such a big success and we underestimated is that it is the original is much more of a touchstone with a generation of people than we thought.
You had thrown that idea out there, and I would
When we went to see, probably we're going to see Mad Max, in fact, since this is the only movie I can think of we saw this summer. We were at a restaurant beforehand, and it's right next to a movie theater, and we said, hey, listen, we got to make a movie over at this so-and-so time, and the guy said... Oh, what are you going to see? We're going to see Mad Max. You know, he says, I'm so excited to see Jurassic World. Like, you know, that's the movie like when we were in high school or like, you know, in junior high school, they saw. It's the same reason that all
Star Wars
that I follow myself with Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I'm not with you.
Because the original Star Wars were a formative era. So when they bring it back, you're like,
Star Wars has that for me too.
So
not as much as you, but it has it for me.
Think about
to a time in my youth.
Jurassic Park, the first one, was it wasn't. It's not that it's like the world's greatest dramatic story, but it opened new windows to people, just the way that Star Wars opened new windows to people. Whereas Jurassic Park, people saw that and they're like, oh my goodness, filled with wonder, like this idea. And so if you saw that as a youth and now they bring it back and it looks like it's going to be pretty good, people, I think, fell all over that seeing that. And because those people are now in their, say, early to late 30s, I think that would be the right generation.
Yeah, it's 93, isn't it? No, 96. 93, yeah. So
those people, they're movie-going people. Like, they have enough money to go to tickets. They haven't, like, accumulated a set of kids so that they can't go or whatever, whatever it is. But they were – I think there were people who were fired up to go see this. And I didn't see it, and yet it made $650 million. Yeah. I don't know how it did without me going to see it.
Well, your $12 perhaps isn't such a big bite out of $649.9 million.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go next with it, though.
Well, since I didn't see
it. Obviously, they make it more. Well, I mean, really, you don't have to see it. Dinosaurs get out of control, eat people. I mean, where do you go?
Does everybody flee just like in the original one eventually? Yeah, like in the original one, they all band in the park.
And just like the original one, the dinosaurs are killed by other dinosaurs.
And this one, I don't want to give this one away. Has flying dinosaurs.
Flying
right?
So dinosaurs. Gonna, there's a dinosaur in the water. Basically, the swimming dinosaur. Spoiler: the swimming dinosaur eats the rogue dinosaur.
All right.
I don't know. I don't. There was an interesting sort of undertone that might be touched on in further movies. That there is a character who's like a military defense contractor, and they and there's this notion that
they're militarized dinosaurs.
Yeah, and there might be an interesting futuristic way for it to go. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen? Well, the dinosaurs join the military. They get out of control and start eating everything. There's only so much you can do with a dinosaur film. Dinosaurs become like Planet of the Apes. Dinosaurs become they interact with humans. Then they get out of control and eat people. I mean, that's it. So, but again,
GI T-Rex.
Yeah, but really, you make a billion around the world. Does it really matter where it's going next? All we know is we're backing up the Brinks truck.
So, all right,
Jurassic World, biggest movie this summer.
Yep.
All right, enough movie talk. But talking of loads of money and backing up the Brinks truck, the Powerball lottery in the U.S. reached the point of having the biggest payout in world history back in January. I think it was something like $1.5 billion. Let me say that again, $1.5 billion. So Eric and I spent a little while talking about playing the lottery and what we would do if we hit the jackpot.
Did you play this time around?
I did, yeah. I mean, I can't remember if I threw a $10 or $20 down and just said, you know, give me whatever number.
Because I ended up in a pool at my place of work, mm-hmm. where someone had sort of corralled various employees. We all ended up throwing in a couple of dollars. I can't remember how many lines we ended up with, but it was 52 people. And I'd seen the list of people. Some people had paid $2. Some people had paid $5.
Oh, really? It's variable.
Yeah, and I didn't quite know how that worked. But then an email came out saying that if we win, it's being split 52 ways.
Oh boy, it's a good thing you didn't, because that's instant litigation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we didn't. I think we won. Apparently, I heard a story that we'd won $14, and at that mm-hmm. moment, what did I care about that being split 52 ways? But yeah. I'm sure there's someone who's going, yeah, I want my 35 cents. That's
whoever
to
put
me.
In the $5 can get the first dibs on the money there.
So yeah, that was one of the first times I'd actually.
I think only one of you had three winners in this one, and I think only one of them has come forward. I think they're still looking for the other two. And the one that came forward, it's a couple, and they're like, oh, we're going to work on Monday. And I'm sure lots of people think this is what's going to happen, and they do it for a couple of weeks. But there's no chance when you have – I think if you took the lump sum, you end up with $300-something million out of this as one of the three winners out of the $1.5 billion.
I've always said – I'm always one of those people who have said, and as an active lottery player, when I say this, this means something. Mm-hmm. Unlike you, who doesn't play the lottery – you can't speak with any sort of gravitas as to what you would do if you won the lottery. Right. But as someone who plays twice a week, I used to be one of those people who would say, I'm just going back to work and I'm just going to know that I can live comfortably. Mm-hmm. But actually, knowing that that's not going to happen, the minute I win the lottery, I'm going to have a flame out day of purchasing and resigning spectacularly and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not going to cling to this. Well, I just go to work and live a normal life. No way, man. I'm going straight down to the Range Rover dealership, buying a Range Rover, and then getting fired from work and celebrating.
Would you
with
not
a
like try to the sake of your coworkers? Would you not try to gently transition whatever you're doing over to them, or not put them in a spot where they got to figure out what the heck you were doing before you won $300 million?
I mean, to be honest with you, no. Because I'd be a gazillionaire. It's not my problem. The whole point of winning the lottery is to transport you away from that life.
Yeah.
So well, I would not attempt to cling on to that. Like, because at the end of the day, what's the point of being a millionaire and still sitting there?
Well,
at work?
That, I mean, like, listen, you know what I mean? My point was ultimately these people are not going to continue to work. They can pretend they're going to work for a couple of weeks, but when they're thinking about what's in their bank account, they're going to be like, I don't really feel like getting up this morning and going to that friggin' meeting. You know,
if you're busy going on your first shopping spree, you just don't have time to go to work. So I mean, really, yeah.
It's a fantasy, of course, isn't it? Winning the lottery. Or maybe that should be a fairy tale. But in this quick conversation about Cinderella, it's it's pretty clear that my partner and I may have been sure about our post-lottery win behavior. What we're not absolutely sure about is our fairy tales.
Lost earlier today.
But you know something? Cinderella never goes to the ball in the NCAA tournament. 9 times out of 10, she just makes it out the front door. Yale what? Yale had their Cinderella moment. Then the next day, it is brutally ended.
I'm just thinking about the Cinderella story, right? So yeah, sure, she was, you know, the put upon sister, and she gets to go to the ball. But at the end, she has to run away from the ball. She doesn't really finish at the ball, though. I guess then the prince comes find her and puts the slipper on and stuff. So I guess it works out for her in the end. I'm trying to think if the analogy is flawed to begin with.
I'm trying to get my prince and slippers, and have they been asleep for 40 years, and ugly sisters. I'm trying to get, I don't know. Well, that's my point. I get all these things confused. I feel that at the end of the day, if Cinderella's midgets, right? Dwarfs, little people.
No, that's Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty has the...
Cinderella is ugly sisters.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. I get all these things confused. Okay. You know, in general...
She's the one who...
Frankly, if you just stuck
the
them all in...
slippers, or no, magic... No, no. I don't remember who... Some magic lets her go to the ball, and she's got the slippers, and the pumpkin turns into the...
Okay, that's Cinderella, right?
Right? And then at midnight, all that stuff falls away, and so she runs, leaves the slipper behind. The prince, who is so... captured by her,
okay,
now goes around trying to find who fits the slippers,
okay,
but and like all the sisters, everybody's trying to fit them, even though they know that's not the person. And he finds out that Cinderella, who's now back to being mopping the floors,
that's right, that, okay, this is starting to make sense,
and says, oh, you're the wonderful person, come marry me,
okay,
come rule the land. So I mean, at the end of the day, I guess she does win.
I'm not going to challenge your recollection of the nursery rhyme facts, because
there
all
is
these
a
fairy
hiccup,
tales
like,
are
the,
sort of
at the evening part, like she's not winning at some point, but then she ends up winning again.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Like, it's not like a pure upward trajectory.
Cinderella going to the ball actually isn't the big finish.
Yeah.
That's the halfway through moment. But of course, but we always go, oh, Cinderella, like the ball. But everyone forgets that, yeah, you're right. At midnight, it kind of all goes.
Yeah. So, anyway, brackets, though.
All right, long-time listeners will know that we like a good segue here on The Atlantic Voice. So here goes. I'm not sure how the Pope feels about all this gambling. Anyway, that Cinderella-Snow White confusion came about as part of our conversation about the history of gambling and the NCAA tournament. And then, of course, living large on the back of victory. Anyway, the Pope was here, you know.
They're just different words.
More official.
I don't know. But in Philly, he's supposed to be doing an open-air mass, which they are, I assume they're estimating, 1.5 million people.
Where's he? I mean, where's he going to do it?
I don't know. A 1.5 million people.
This is where?
This
is in New York?
This is Philly. So
that's a lot of angry.
I mean, if it was 1.5 million, you'd assume it was in Central Park if it was in New York. But
that's
a lot of angry
Eagles fans looking to throw batteries about at somebody. And I hope, for Pope's sake, if you're listening, be careful. Those guys in Philadelphia, they will hammer you if they don't like what they are constantly turning on their own team. I'm warning you right now, Pope, please. Use that special roof on your car.
I imagine
Philadelphia Eagles fans are crazy.
I imagine
See, that's not having a go at the Pope. That's having a go at the city of Philadelphia.
Right.
So they will abuse
me. No, that's okay.
Me.
You're not joking.
I'm not employed by the city of Philadelphia.
I imagine the Eagles fans are part of the surveillance of the National Special Security event, like I said.
You know, in hindsight, I realize that was a pretty weak segue. Anyway, I need to apologize to the city of Philadelphia. Great city, great people, great food. We do still have some fans in Pennsylvania. Anyway, one of the biggest real-world events near the basement studios by the lake was the visit of His Papalness to the east coast of the USA. What seemed to pique our curiosity the most about his trip was how the whole region suddenly seemed to be overrun with life-size cutouts of His Papalness. Eric wondered how official any of them were, and I wondered how accurate they were. Now be warned, there's nothing blasphemous here, unless pontificating, get it, about the accuracy of NBA stats is a sin. Listen closely.
Rather notable event that I pointed out to you and I've been noticing is the plethora of life-size Pope cutouts.
Oh, you mean Pope-ups?
Pope-ups, yeah. I've seen them called different things.
I've seen them
cutouts, life-size things. They're kind of like, it's like a fathead. Like fatheads are those things, the big stickers you'd put on your wall for like sports heroes.
Yeah.
Like it's like full life-size.
It is full-size. That is how big he is.
But the paper, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say at least a half a dozen articles I've seen in the lead up to the Pope involve people standing next to Pope cutouts.
Yes.
You know, and like a couple of them are even like, you know, certain people get an audience with the Pope. I don't want to say they entered a lottery and they won a chance to see the Pope, although maybe that's the way it works. But the idea is that they are.
But there's a bit of that.
There's obviously a long list of people who want to see him. Some people get that. But some of the pictures were like, oh, these people are going to meet with the Pope.
Okay.
But in the meantime, here they are standing next to a Pope cutout. You know, and I just thought that was really weird because the picture would say, oh, so-and-so meet the Pope. And I'm like, I didn't think the Pope was here yet. And then you'd look at it and you realize, oh, they're just standing next to a Pope cutout. It's like they're warming up.
Yes.
For going to see the Pope.
Well, frankly,
this is about how, you know, like
I don't know the Pope well enough, and so I'm not having a go at him. I can't imagine if he's meeting hundreds of thousands of people that you're actually going to get much more of a conversation than you would with the Pope.
Probably quit receiving, or the Pope quick receiving line. So
I mean, he's like, what am I going to say to this guy in front of him? If I'm the Pope and I'm meeting my 456th person of the day, other than, you know, bless you, my son. Oh, and how's your wife and kid? You know what I mean? It's not a lot of conversation. It's like if you're president or any sort of celebrity, it's like if you've been in the receiving line at the wedding.
Yeah. He's like, how about those Nats?
Yeah, really.
He's a big baseball fan. Very conveniently in the paper today, Smiles at the Clinic, a cardboard likeness of Pope Francis greeted patients Saturday at the Catholic Charities Free Dental Clinic in Adams Morgan. More than 30 dental professionals and staffers took part. So, you know, we have this little picture where people are at a counter. You know, they're signing in for their free dental care, and there's a cutout of the Pope just sort of sitting in the middle of everything.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think a cutout of the Pope is actually quite – I think because it's also – it's like a double thing. Obviously, we're celebrating the arrival of a Pope. But if I put one of those things – if I've been having a lot of robberies in my store – if I put the cutout of the Pope next to the register, that could be as effective as any kind of security cam.
Well,
because some robber runs in at certain moments. Oh, Pope is here.
So you
do you know what I mean?
It's actually.
I think it'd be quite good. Like when I looked at that picture there that you showed me of the dental thing, Pope is standing there at the front of the line. I'm on my best behavior. Even though it's Pope cutout. Do you know what I mean?
See,
if it's a cutout of, I don't know, some politician that you don't like or something like that, you're going to be more inclined to sort of do goofy selfies and do the rabbit ears behind it. But the Pope, even though it's a cutout, you're not taking any chances.
Yeah, you're not sure if
it'd be. Even I would be on my best behavior.
So one of the things I was thinking about with this Pope cutout was, is this a proprietary item? Is this a officially Vatican licensed thing? I mean,
it should be.
It should be, you'd think, right? But you go on the internet, and when you run a search for Pope cutout, there's a whole, it's on eBay, it's on all these different websites. I don't know if they had to pay somebody to do it, but I've seen them between 70 or 80 bucks, you can get your own papal cutout. And
then those people.
Papal, you see, there's a papal
cutout. There you go. And you can pay by PayPal. Da-dum.
Yeah, that's right. So
then, you know, so if you're one of those people and you're hawking this stuff and you're making money yourself, then you're at risk. Not now, but later on.
Yeah. So I was looking around.
When you're arriving at the pearly gates, you think St. Peter isn't keeping a list of, you lot were scamming cutout with the cutout popes 35 years ago?
Right.
You're waiting in that line over there. And if there's a space, you're in. But if not, you've only got this to blame.
Perhaps more egregious, I'm not sure that they all have their facts straight. So, for example, one website says, they give to the height in inches and they're like, it's 60-something inches, 5'9".
That was my next question.
The Pope's actual height. However, I go scrolling through other entries on Google. Another one says 5'11", the Pope's actual height.
Oh.
So, literally the same quote.
Oh, but that's
and
like
yet somebody decides to inflate. It's like a college basketball team.
They do that in the NBA, though, don't they? Everyone's 6'9".
College basketball teams, yes. You get all these 6'4" guys.
And it's really the guy is 6'7". Although I'm not sure the Pope really needs to, run some sort of subterfuge with his stats.
I can't remember where I saw the 5'9" one, but the 5'11" is from Church Supply Warehouse. So if you go to Church Supply Warehouse website, they are claiming that the Pope is 5'11". I don't think, I'm going to guess he's probably not 5'11".
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is
I think that doesn't look 5'11", I'll put you that.
No, but I want to make a general point about cutouts now. Even if a cutout has the life, cutouts, even when it's the life dimensions, mm-hmm, in terms of the size, they never quite look right anyway. I know, because they're like one-dimensional. But what I mean is, the person never looks. I don't know.
The real problem is, listen. This is a sign. You know, he's lit a certain way for a picture. So when you put him next to other people who are lit differently, it's very. It might not immediately be obvious, but it's a little bit awkward. Plus, they're not looking the same direction.
But what I mean is, even if the cutout is, let's say he is 5'11", mm-hmm. all right, 22 rebounds a game, 14 points, 4 assists. Right. Let's say he is 5'11", and your cutout is 5'11". Even when I look at it, it doesn't, do you know what I mean? It doesn't quite look right.
I imagine.
Like, again, I'm thinking, when I see a Pope cutout, and I'm thinking he's 5'11", yeah, I'll take him down on the block and try and spin him to the outside. What do I care?
You know,
I can post up against that guy. You get your box
of cereal or box of crackers, and it's always only about 3/4 full.
Yes.
Like, what they're doing is they're skimping. I imagine that even the ones that say they're 5'9" or 5'11", when it arrives at your house, if you take out a measuring tape, I'm going to guess either
it's 5'7"
and a half. There's a couple inches taken off of there because, hey, listen, they're like, that's that much less in the printing cost, that much less in shipping cost, and, you know, people trying to skimp on the Pope.
I will say this,
that's also going to put you back in the line at the pearly gates.
You made an interesting point there, though. Are these officially licensed products?
You couldn't tell. I mean, there's nothing on it that says they're officially licensed, and I don't, I mean, I, while
and
I
And again,
imagine,
now, I want to say this, because again, and I don't want to, you know, it's not all about the movies, but if you see that Tom Hanks movie, they've got a whole operation over there in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
The security, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
All right, not to get too deep into religion, but one event that occurs every year, and I'm not talking about the Atlantic Voices Spring Special, which this year was the best of TV. One event that occurs every year is Christmas. Now, in the spirit of the segue, I'm pretty sure that the Pope is a big Christmas fan. Actually, not sure fan is quite the right word. Anyway, for this year's Christmas special, we decided to rank Christmas. Best food, best drink, and of course, best presents. As we find out in this clip, I've got a yearning to have a model railway in my house, while my partner has some strange history with staplers. Yeah, that's right, staplers. So listen on as we debate the best and worst presents that we've ever received.
Do you know what I mean?
The other problem with champagne, like, there's a lot of bad champagne. Like, so a lot of times when people, oh, I'm going to have one bottle of champagne, because we'll all have a toast, they just go, whatever's on the shelf, I'm going to bring it. And you're like,
have you ever mulled
really
champagne?
Good champagne.
Mold champagne.
Yeah, because I think things would be running out of bubbles along the course of that. It would now just be mulled wine.
It'd be like warm Coca-Cola. It'd be really nasty.
All right, so that takes us through our food and drink category, which, just for the sake of counting that up, it was 3 Zeph, 4 Eric, 1 Push.
So what are we overall? I'm down by 4, but I'm going to win the next couple easily.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. I'm looking at some of these. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I think you're going to win. Well, so now we're going to go into some things.
I thought these were nice categories.
Presents and traditions. So the first one is best present ever received.
Why win this hole? Because I can't remember. Who cannot remember their best ever? What's the matter with? Can I say something? As someone who prides himself at being counted the holidays in general, mm-hmm. I'm counted Christmas. I haven't sent a Christmas card in about 25 years. I will announce to people, oh yeah, I'm not getting your gifts this year. I'll announce it because why am I going all in on other people?
Yeah.
And yet, how can I not criticize you for not remembering your best present?
You can. Here's what I have to concede when
you
it comes
can, if
to
you
presents.
Said to me, I can't remember, you've never given me a present, I would go, okay, that's actually a very clever answer. I'll give you the whole because I don't give presents.
This is what I have to concede to everybody, and my family members will know this to be true. I cannot for the life of me remember what I end up getting given. And so, you know, 3 months after Christmas, I'll be like pulling a shirt out and I'll say, hey, you gave this to me. And no, didn't give that to you. Somebody else gave that to you. And I can never, never remember that. This goes hand in hand with the fact that I'm a really bad gift receiver. All right. Everybody who knows this to be the case,
I'm not very
good at being excited. And the thing is, I do like all these gifts. I'm just other members of the household, when they get a gift they like, peals of excitement, you know, like just, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And I go, thank you. I really like this, you know, but for whatever reason, I come across like I didn't really like it that much. And I just want everybody to know I do like it.
Okay.
Now, I have determined recently that this runs through my family, because other members of my half of the family, meaning not the other members of the household, I've recently noticed that not even a thank you. Like, you send a gift, like, nobody's like, oh, thanks for giving me that. So I think this is a thing on my family that we never really learned to be, not that we aren't grateful, but we never learned to properly express our gratefulness.
This is why I don't give presents. Because this is how people are going to react. What do I need to be wasting
the
money
for?
But the
thing is, I want everybody to understand, I do appreciate and enjoy these presents, and they're all very good.
I'm just, and
this goes hand in hand with the fact that I can't remember. I don't remember people's names. There's certain things I don't remember. I mean, I remember having gotten stuff, but I couldn't tell you what was the best.
I'm going to hit you up with two from a kid. One was a train set, full-on proper train set. And it's one of those things, and I don't just mean like a wind-up one. I mean like a proper model railway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one thing as an adult.
H.O. Gange, or was it?
O.O. is our equivalent in England. It's basically the same size. It's different. There's O.O. and like, H.O. are basically interchangeable.
Okay.
So
relatively narrow. It's not the old, big gauge that we had.
And yeah, and it's not the N, which is the very small one.
Yeah.
It's one of my regrets in life that I never went all the way in on that. Like, had a whole room in my house now as an adult. I mean it. I love all that.
You could take it up.
And then the other one was a dartboard.
My brother had
it. I love playing darts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had, it was not mine. There was a very large set of train tracks in my household growing up. Oh. But you got to, I mean, it was
oh,
cool.
I would love all that. I would be all the way like, in the you know, flying Scotsman.
But even people like
yards.
It, you know.
And I received this.
I'm trying to think if this would be your thing. I mean, are you like? Would you be detail oriented to like set up that little forest and like the little houses and the people walking down the street?
No, not so much. But I just like it's like in real life. You and I go to the car show. I like cars and trains. I'm not interested in like, yeah, I've got to get the correct, you know, signal control room.
Do you want to have the switches so you can send them different routes? Or you just want a big oval?
Oh, no, I want all kinds of sidings and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, and I like, but it's not so much, I want it all to look good, but I'm not running around going, oh, I need to get the correct Canadian fur for this part of the world. Forget that. I just want to be able
I
want to be able to control the trains.
Factually accurate.
I want to spend 10 minutes backing the locomotive up into the express carriages and then slowly bringing it back into the station. Going all aboard the 1420
I can't decide if this whole thing is perfectly congruous with your personality or completely antithetical.
And then slowly bringing it out of the station. And then, of course, whizzing it around at high speeds and then having a massive train disaster that you then have to tie up.
You know,
I would still do that now as a man of indeterminate
age. Are trains poised for like a hipster revival? Like single gear bikes or something like that? Is this like a thing maybe?
I like trains in real life. I was at the Union Station here in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago. And I'm wandering around, and when you park your car there and come, this is one of those stations where you park above the station and you come down to the station. I still stop for a minute on the escalator and look out, a couple of stories over the platform to see, ooh, look, there's the big express on its way. I like trains. I like cars.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, while you and I can buy a nice car to drive, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to buy a steam locomotive.
Right.
The next best thing is to have one whizzing around in your front room. So I would love to.
And your other was dartboard. Are you giving me two things, or was this part of a set? Like, there's only one best present.
Okay, then it's going to be train set.
All right,
but I got a dartboard a different year, and
was it a good dartboard? We had a dartboard.
No, it was a cheap one, but like it got me into the game of darts.
Not felt, but the paper.
Yeah, but as an adult, I had I was in a league and all that kind of stuff.
Plastic fin darts.
Yeah. There may be such a thing as, trick question, there are no bad drinks. There's no bad drink at Dart League night. I haven't been on a team for about 15 years, but it used to be a nice group of guys. Listen, so
you clearly get this because I didn't have anything. I think you might have even rung the bell to start.
Yes. Okay. Let me see.
Worst present received.
This is interesting. I'm going to give you this because I was sorry for you. But I do want to pick up. I put down a vest. A couple of years ago, someone gave me one of those quilted vests.
Quilted?
You know, they're sort like of padded vests. So not like a vest, not like a wool vest, not like a vest you wear under a jacket. You see them nowadays. They're
like a Back to the Future vest.
Yeah. Someone gave me one of those. And I'm like, what the? I don't wear vests. But my
I have one. I love it.
But my general point is, I am like you, but in a strange way. I don't like people buying me clothes because I don't like people buying me presents in general because I'm the sort of person, to pick up on your point, I like what I like. If you want to give me the money... Don't give me a CD going, oh, you might like these guys. No, give me $15 to Amazon and then I'll go and buy who I want. I don't like getting CD because
I'll listen to anything.
And I mean this sincerely. I don't like getting gifts because if someone gives you a gift, then at some level you are obligated to engage with it. And I just feel bad. I don't want someone to give me clothes that I'm never going to wear. Because then you know something.
Well, so
that's even not, that's clothes. Even that's some, that is
some,
the ultimate. Insult.
Some people who give me clothes are excellent at it all the time. Some people are not. If you are not sure which group you're in, contact me. I'll let me know whether you should continue to get clothes.
Yeah. So no, I don't. That was one of the worst things I got.
So my worst ever, and there's a whole story with this. So don't say what it is yet. But
no.
I'm enjoying myself too much. When I was in elementary school, we had a gift exchange, you know, in our class.
Okay.
You know, people had like a secret Santa thing. And you didn't necessarily know who the people were who gave you the gift. And my gift was, it was a rectangular box. Well, you know, obviously when it's wrapped, it's you know, a rectangular shaped box. Say it's like 4 inches wide by 2 inches high or something like that. And it's really heavy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. This isn't like some junky plastic toy or something like that. And I open it up, and it's a stapler, and not like the desktop kind of stapler. It's the hand.
Oh, they're really terrible.
Meaning like it was a big hand. And this was a solid stapler, right? I mean, like this is not a piece of junk stapler. It's not like a little toy. It's like you would see it in an office to staple big documents. And it was like a big chunky thing. And I think I was in fourth grade or fifth grade. I mean, just was... like very clearly that I hated it.
Was it bought? Or do you think it was a stolen stapler that was rewrapped?
I don't know. But you know, like, so the girl who gave it to me
really liked you.
I want to apologize to her now. Valerie. I'm not going to say the last name, obviously. But because I even immediately...
But if you're Mr. Valerie, you're probably getting a stapler at Christmas.
Even then where I don't remember if I said something bad about it, but then I immediately found out that it had come from her, and she suddenly felt bad. And I really, even then, as a callous teen...
Callow was the word, yes.
Or a child. I was a preteen. I knew that was really rude of me, and I felt very bad then, and I could never figure out a way. I think I tried to backtrack, but, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I had my immediate emotional reaction to it, and it was bad. And then the kicker is, it was an awesome stapler. Like, I mean, like, I use this. I may still have it in my office now. It was such a, like, high-quality, swing-line, handheld stapler. It was a great stapler, and so I really feel bad. But it was, I mean, it was not a great gift when you're in fourth grade to get a stapler from somebody.
If you're not a listener, Valerie, well, you should be. And if you are, then you probably won't after I'm hammering you. I mean, really, who gives a stapler?
I just recently found that my mother is all of my grade school pictures, like the class pictures for all the way from kindergarten through fifth grade. So it's pretty fascinating. I can point her out later on.
All right, sort of in the gift subcategory, we're going to cover the things we've just given. I'll give you that, yes.
There is so much about my partner that's explained by that clip. And if you don't know what I mean by that, well, you're not a long-time listener, and so maybe it's time you became one. Talking of our personal foibles, well... While the last year has been full of outside events that are major, well, what is the Atlantic Voice podcast other than an opportunity for Eric and I to talk about ourselves and the humdrum of our own existence? Actually, that's not quite true. It should be about how our lives exist for the Atlantic Voice.
TV show Face Off or something, but we're going to do something TV related.
Yep.
And then obviously we're actually not that far away.
I was about to say the big summer movie preview,
which continues to be huge in terms of our ratings. That's coming. And then we also have a special one-off theme this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, because I'm getting married later this summer.
What?
Yes. So listeners out there, I'm going to give you two. If you're a female listener, it's not too late to cut in on the action.
What does that mean?
But if you're any of our listeners and you want to help celebrate, please, you can email us at atlanticvoice@gmail.com and you can make some sort of PayPal donation if you want to get on board the marriage train. But no, I'm getting married later this summer.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, of course not. No. And of course.
So what does that have to do with the podcast, though?
Well, because we're going to be doing a show. We're going to have live coverage from a wedding.
I'm sure
everybody
in the family will be pleased that you'll be recording while you're getting married.
Well, let me tell you a short story.
You're going to have to buy those little lapel mics and you can bring it up to the...
I'm going to wear one.
Yeah.
Not during it, probably. Not during the actual moment itself. Uh-huh. But at the reception and the night before, we're definitely going to have some coverage.
You know what? That's not too crazy. Because you could just collect a whole bunch of, you know, because obviously people could be telling jokes and stuff
and
like that.
And telling stories.
There could
stories,
be some
yeah.
good pieces of stuff there.
Yeah. Which we can then use in, and we don't even have to do a wedding. We don't. We can obviously do a wedding special. Yeah. But some week someone's just going to mention things and we're going
to
go,
does that mean
oh.
we have to wear like a sign that says, if you talk to Zeph, or if I get one, if you talk to Zeph or Eric, you're being recorded. Like a disclosure? Or do we come back to them afterwards and say, listen, you were being recorded. It's actually a law about this. We'll have to check with the
there is
the
a law that you
staff.
Have. You, yeah, there is a law that you have to Virginia. Notify someone else if you're recording them. But I do know this.
I think in Virginia, at least on a phone, you only need one half to consent. In Maryland, you need both halves. I'll have to check on this.
Well, I also know, but I also know if you're on a phone and if you're not recording the phone call, you can record what you're saying.
Oh yeah,
as long as you can't, as long as you don't record what the
I
other
think
person says.
You might even be able to do that. You know what?
But you don't have to tell them that I'm recording myself.
No, but I don't even. I think as long as you have one part of a conversation, at least over phone, I think you're allowed to record in Virginia. The reason I know this is because it. When I was a young attorney, I think as a make work item, somebody had me research. It was during the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Oh.
And you may remember that Linda Tripp recorded some phone calls, and there was a big to-do about whether she was breaking the law by recording the phone calls. And I think the phone call like crossed the state border, you know, like part was
DC,
part was in Virginia. And I seem to recall when I looked up the Virginia law, now this is 20 plus years ago.
Yeah, it was 97, 98, wasn't it? Yeah, that's late 90s.
That I, you know, laws may be different than they were then, but I seem to recall that Virginia allowed single party consent, whereas Maryland required two party.
That's interesting.
So anyway, we'll check on that.
All right. And, so anyway, we went last week. My fiance and I, we went to make wedding invitations, and I know nowadays with the internet, if you don't know anything, you can just Google what to do. Yeah, I'm wandering in, right. And it's amazing. Obviously, I'm of indeterminate middle age. I had no idea how I've been to many weddings.
Right.
I have family members that have been married, but I have no idea how any of this stuff works. And I didn't realize that, you know, I always presumed that a wedding invitation arrives and there's been some sort of stock wedding where you fill in some names and it comes. I didn't realize that you have to pick out everything that's said on your, you have to come up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, ooh. What do you do? Because we're not having one of those where the parents are announcing and inviting you.
Yeah, a little past that stage of your life.
Yes. So it's a bit odd to sit there and think, oh, I need to figure out how do you invite someone to your wedding? And we ended up with something very sort of traditional. You know, we invite you to share our joy and all this sort of nonsense. Mm-hmm. But it was a bit strange. Like, other than time, date, and place, for the first time in my life, I'm thinking, oh.
It's not an empty space on the page.
Yeah, well, like, what else do you put and how do you put it? Like, you know, you just go, yeah, we're getting married.
Did you have any other ideas?
I did have some ideas, actually, which went down like a lead balloon. And this is why, while I have floated the idea of recording the wedding for posterity.
That necessarily has to. Yeah. Forget about the legal clearance. Well, what was it? Haven't actually had spousal clearance.
In order to get the legal clearance, I figured that if on the wedding invitation we could put the Atlantic Voice podcast presents.
Mm-hmm.
The marriage of Zeph.
Yeah.
Then right there, if you've been invited, you already see, well, this is a production. I know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we don't have to have wear badges going, you are being recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
People just understand that I'm at a celebrity wedding.
Very small print on the invite to go, should you choose to attend, you may be recorded. Yeah.
Or can you put it on the backside?
Like this wedding may be recorded for quality control purposes. You know, like they say when you get on the phone.
Well, that's true though. But if you have a videographer at your wedding,
right?
What does that mean?
No, I mean the difference isn't like you're using those for personal use. I think the difference is if you recorded stuff and then you put it out. I mean, we don't do it for commercial.
But then again, have you seen our ratings recently? I mean, who's to say this isn't? These shows are not just for personal use.
It's more or less personal family use.
So anyway, I tried to think. Well, we could have the wedding presented by the Atlantic Voice podcast. Needless to say, that idea was shut down.
All right.
So yeah, but there you go. But that's one of our big events coming up this year.
We need to fine tune our logo if we did that. You know.
The bottom line is I'm getting married and it's going to be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
I think this could work.
Yeah. And all so right. If you're out there and you're a new listener, you need to tell your friends. You need to check out this show. These characters are getting married on it.
Are you going to get
each other, obviously.
Are you going to get the recording gear that we can wear on our persons?
The portable stuff. We have they're called Lanier mics.
Okay.
Lanier mics. We can, you know, we can do that and we can interview people and we can just do weddings.
Well, I think you
we
just have your wedding. Regular conversations. I mean, think about how many cool little snippets you can get out of
it. Easily, yeah.
So,
easily.
People talking about stuff.
So anyway, that's while this show isn't one of our big themed show,
yeah.
I did feel in the news this week we should prompt our big themes coming up this year.
You should get, I don't know if you thought about this yet, so you know they used to have the disposable cameras that you would have at the wedding. So now what they have is like an app that people can put on their phone, and you take the pictures with your phone, and live they get uploaded to a central location.
Oh, really?
So you're there, you can see pictures of other people that are taken during the course of the wedding, and then you have this whole, everybody can access this big portfolio of candid photos. It's pretty cool.
And it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if this takes the place of a wedding photographer, but it takes the place of the people taking pictures, and then because the old disposable cameras, you'd take them, and then the people hosting the wedding would collect them up, develop them, and all that stuff. But now, since you can do this all,
but as an app, do you know what the app's called?
The logo was a couple of geese and like a heart shape kind of thing. We'll find out as easy.
Again, this is all things to do. This is all part of the marriage process is learning stuff.
Like it's tomorrow or anything like that.
No.
I don't think it's too hard.
No.
Anyway, so we have our hodgepodge and we've already killed the first
We've already killed 10 minutes of the show. Yeah. All right, getting towards the back end of the show. And that means it's mashup time. Now, if this is your first best of show, and if it is, it most definitely shouldn't be your last, because you can go back and listen to all the old ones. Find us on the blog, www.atlanticvoice.net, or up on iTunes. Just open the podcast section and search for The Atlantic Voice. You can listen to the old ones, because that's what makes podcasts different from radio. Anyway, if this isn't your first best of show, then let me explain. The mashup is where we cut together, all the stuff that's lying around for a few minutes of randomness. Got some noises, got some singing, got some bad impressions, one-liners, like I said, all the bits and bobs. Now, I went back and I did some research on previous mashups. 2013, it was only 8 cuts. 1 year later, it was up to 15, and last year, a whopping 27. This year, I don't think it's quite many, but you know something? Don't count, just experience it. Context be damned. Here is your 2016 mashup. Oh, before we get on with it, there is a new addition to the mashup. My partner, that's the guy who can't be bothered to show up for the best of show. He always complains that when he listens, he complains that all the cuts run together and you can't tell them apart. So this year, we're adding the bell to help get you along. And if you're a new listener, go back and listen to the summer movie preview to get a gist of the bell.
What I like is the fact that you had to go to a French dessert for the best dessert as a person from Great Britain. You know, does that make you awkward, you know, make you feel bad that you had to go with a French dessert for your best dessert?
Not at all. I'm committed to the European Union.
Now, you're saying, right, nicely done. You're saying, and I'm not very excited about those. Now, other people like them. So,
how did you always have your turnips?
Or like mashed or something. Or neeps. But I mean,
they call them neeps in Scotland. Oh, and of course, my grandmother is Scottish, so I'm a quarter Scottish. The quarter of you aren't crap, because if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something about turnips. I don't like them either. But, and again, this is where the Scotland part of me comes into it. January the 25th is known as Burns Night. Robert Burns was basically Scotland's own. Robert Burns was Scotland's famous poet.
But they had the jingle that was like, chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. It spritz and spritz is German for spit or something like that. I don't know, shooting out or dripping or something
That. It's actually English for, it's actually someone in English doing it in a German accent. I spritz on you. I'm talking to a 12-year-old. And she says to me, you guys are quite funny, but you talk about some strange topics. And I'm like, what do you mean? And the kid goes, he did a whole show on coffee and chocolate. And she's sort of turning her nose up at these topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, okay. And I just ignored her. She's 12.
So, for those of you unfamiliar with the Keurig, it's a machine that clearly does something. There's not a lot to it. But to drink your coffee, the coffee comes in single serving canisters, little plastic containers about an inch and a half wide. It's like a little plastic cylinder on top. Obviously, it's labeled with what it is. We've selected a Newman's Own.
Right, so you can, once you have them, you can buy like all kinds of different brands of them.
Okay.
Like, so you can buy a Dunkin' Donuts one, you can buy all the sorts of different ones, and then have you ever used one before?
I've never used one. This is an entirely new experience for me.
I've certainly used one before.
How long have you had the Keurig?
I don't know, 4 or 5 years now.
Has the quality of the Newman's Own coffee changed since he passed away?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I made it. I make it pretty dark. So that's the
other. Oh yes. As we move forward, there's plenty of music that references Mars, but the only song for Venus is Bananarama's "I'm Your Venus, Your Desire,"
which isn't really even a banana. That's I'm a remake. On fire. Also,
is a remake of. Yeah. Shocking Blue, I think, is the 60s band. So there you go. It's a trivia for you.
So, but the reason we picked Total Recall and Edge first
is the only time Bananarama will be referenced on the Atlantic Voice podcast.
Can't guarantee that.
Ultimately, one of the reasons Mars is so fascinating to us as a cult, as a species, is this notion expressed through popular culture that we're going to be able to live there one day. Used to be the moon, but now no one's talking about moon bases. Everyone talks about, even NASA, we're going to send a mission to Mars.
All right.
Do you know what I mean? That's all I'm trying to say. Total Recall takes it as a given that we will have done that.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that. The next one.
The way you said that, you just completely blew off my point. Well, we'll come back
to
that.
Well, it's going to be a thread, and I don't want to overplow anything.
It actually is overplow. That's how Arnold would say it.
Oh,
I do not want to overplow
that. That's not very good. The
consider this a divorce.
Do you think
Richard Burton got involved in it?
Yeah. Well, that is interesting. The story about he just jumped right on it. It wasn't like he even took any convincing.
I thought it was brilliant, my son. That's my best Richard Burton impression. I can't do a British person.
Not that great, but
I can't do a Liam Neeson.
Jeff Wayne.
Wherever you are,
maybe he'll appear on the podcast.
We will find you.
Who's that?
I am Liam Neeson. I will come to Mars and kill you.
I have a very specialized set of skills.
A specialized set of skills. So anyway, that's Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds. Kuan Luke is also, it's also famous for that famous line spoken by the warden, what we have here is a
failure to communicate.
I found this fascinating when I first heard this 20 years ago. Because to be honest with you, I thought the original Battlestar Galactica sucked. I thought it looked cheesy. There was that the one with the little robot?
It didn't have any
bleep, 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 bleep.
No, that's Buck Rogers.
But it had like Muppets in it.
You know, the classic Tarzan plot is people find Tarzan in the jungle and they bring him.
Is the monkey in it?
It's actually in reverse, where I think they give us all this stuff as his beginning parts.
That's Cheetah, the monkey.
Okay.
Anyway. He always did that, and he goes, and that was the TV series. That's the only Tarzan I've watched. I just asked you about the bleep, 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 and you're like, yeah, that's from Buck Rogers. It also has Robert Wagner in it and Sylvia Christel, who was the original Emmanuel. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up.
Yeah, well,
anyway, George Kennedy.
Not in a work
George
computer.
Kennedy, the character.
Soaked up lady fingers or sponge cake and just stuff kind of sitting in there. And the whipped cream is, I'm not really a big whipped cream guy. And
you're not a whipped cream guy?
Nah. And so it's just, it's all soaked up thing. And
your sex life must be terrible. Da-dum!
The other, and other members of our extended family stayed at our house while we were on vacation. And whenever somebody orders a pay-per-view movie on from the cable provider, I get an email.
Yeah.
And so somebody had a cold. And so there was 2 days where literally 6 emails came in where they had ordered 6 different movies on there. A number of them are from this summer.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure. I'm hoping that actually, because they just ordered them a week ago,
they're
I might be
there.
Able to still
yes.
see them. And then so I could catch up or something.
Well, as long as it wasn't porn.
That's right. I didn't get any emails about that.
As a rain blows upon him, I realize there had to be another way.
No, I'm sorry. Harold Faltermeyer did Beverly Hills Cop.
Right. That's right.
I don't know. Oh, who's the singer?
He was like a pop guy.
He was a pop guy who did the... Oh, gosh. If you know, email us. Tweet us at Atlantic _voice. Yeah.
Going in. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. I mean, like, it's like on the radio and stuff.
Queen's album from the same time, A Night at the Opera, which has Bohemian Rhapsody on it. Right. That cost
not four, the Queen. But
no,
Queen.
No, Queen.
Yes.
Galileo Galilei. Yeah, right. That one. So that's going to make next year's best of. Mm-hmm.
People work in there, so maybe they could have people work on the World Cup.
Yeah, so I think they took the world feed. But anyway, Christian asks about the song Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
I forget what a shilling is.
I don't know either. I do modern money.
You don't know what a shilling is relative to a pound?
No.
Is it a 10 cent or 1 cent?
I'm not. The time machine is currently broken, so I'm not going back to the 18th century. So I haven't needed to swat up on old money.
Well, but
I don't know what.
Don't people still say shilling in Great Britain?
To me, a shilling is the equivalent of 5 pence.
5 pennies.
5 pennies.
All right, but I'm sure that's what it is.
But actually, I think historically, a shilling is like 12 of something.
A shilling is a overly
12 farthings. It makes a shilling.
It's a I don't know former Red Sox pitcher who talks too much.
Yeah.
You know, I think the other sort of interesting thing is they call it a papal visit, which I know that's obviously the word for things related to the Pope.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with papal visit, which somebody was pronouncing it as earlier today.
Actually, papal.
Papal. So papal visit is maybe more important, right?
And that's how I regard it. So it's just Pope. And while I understand there is a lot to do with their names, mm-hmm. I don't get too involved in that. I'm like, yeah, Pope.
Well, plus they just adopt their names when they become Pope, right? They're somebody else beforehand, and when they ascend to being Pope, they take a name, and so they become Pope. So I don't remember what his name was. I think he's from Latin America, right?
Kevin.
I don't think it was Kevin.
Oh, because he's a lot taller than he is in his other movies. Yeah,
well, that's a projection. But even like that's kind of weird because that was
I didn't understand any of that.
Character.
I can't believe I've just said that I've just come out of a Star Wars movie and I didn't understand any of that. Ever. That really says.
But
something.
The other one is Maz Action Year, which is perfect for this year. So no.
Some of them were announcing in the James Bond chat rooms because a Star Wars thread opened up.
Uh-huh.
And they were announcing, yo, I'm going back to see it for the second time tomorrow. And I'm thinking, what's the matter with you guys? You're you people are the reason I had to wait 2 weeks to go and see
it. Well, moreover,
I can quote from the podcast. Abraham said,
Abrams.
The Rebel.
Admiral Akbar.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one who says, it's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. Yeah, well, he actually said it later. It's a trap. He says it that way. But, right. So that's beer.
Yeah.
Right. So from drinks you can buy to other things you can buy, we have a Star Wars update.
Oh, right. Is there like a...
The time is coming.
I was at a football game yesterday where the entire halftime show was Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Songs, like classic Star Wars songs. Pretty good. Although, oddly enough, you know, like all these marching bands at football games, they do the... Death Star thing.
But they've been doing that for years.
No, but they didn't do that in this halftime show. Instead, it was like the main themes.
Oh, really?
And I imagine that was because, you know, everybody's heard the band do the halftime thing. They even did like a version of the Cantina. You might remember in the first Star Wars when they're like it's actually Benny Goodman composed.
It's that one.
You know, like it's sort of like this jazz thing with unusual instruments. Well, they did a version of that, which did not quite play as well with...
stamp on a film, and I'm going to shout out to other people. We talked briefly about Steven Spielberg, our old friend J.J. Abrams, who actually...
Abrams.
Whatever. His... I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
Okay, there's your mashup. Now, if it felt like there were fewer noises and a lot less singing than in previous years, well, that's because they'd been replaced by more one-liners. Perhaps my partner and I are maturing as entertainers. Don't say anything. Don't say anything about the one-liners, the maturity, the entertainer bit. Just let it all go. Anyway, the mashup means that we are pretty much at the end of the 2016 Best Of special. But before we go, while this Best Of show is always an annual excuse to not bring you a live show with new stuff, it's also a moment to thank all of you out there. And there is now a lot of you out there. If you've been with us since the start, well, figure it out. You've actually made us your guests for over 100 episodes. Thank you. And if you've only just joined us, well, you have a bit of catching up to do before you get our thanks. Anyway, let's finish where we started with a touch more discussion of Star Wars. No, we're not obsessed. Sure, Eric is a fan, but as you'll hear now,
I don't even know the difference between Adam Sandberg, once of Saturday Night Live, and Adam Driver, who plays the new villain in the series. If you're a long-time and loyal listener of the pod, you'll actually have heard me say on many occasions that when it comes to these Star Wars films, get ready to say it with me now, those first three movies were great, those last three movies suck, copyright Atlantic Voice. Well, now that there's a whole new batch of movies, then that particular piece of phraseology is null and void. So as we exit the show, listen to me copyright some new wording. From my partner Eric and myself, thank you. And the fates be willing, here's to another 100 episodes of stuff like this.
Did you see the Adam Driver Saturday Night Live sketch? Undercover Boss?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that online, look for it. It's Adam Driver. It's a parody of the TV reality show Undercover Boss.
He's coming
undercover.
He's Kylo Ren, but he's coming as like a janitor. And it, like everybody's like...
I'm not going to lie. I will say this about Adam Driver. I had absolutely no familiarity with his career. Yeah. I kept thinking he was the dude from Saturday Night Live that's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Adam Sandberg.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know any of these dudes. Until the movie when he takes his hat off, I'm like, ooh, I thought it was the dude from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So there you go.
So now you know how much to respect.
Right, so Star Wars, Star Wars, we predicted it. No, I will say this. I think it went beyond our predictions.
Yeah.
We said it was going to be, it wouldn't be great. It wasn't going to suck, I think was how we paraphrased it on both
the I'm not trying to recharacterize it. Mine was
A
prediction of a minimum. No, I wasn't like, I didn't predict it wasn't going to be great. I just predicted it would at least be this. And so, you know, in other words, I'm saying it's this or better. And so it isn't like it was surprising to me. It was so successful.
You know, as we get out of the show, you have recalibrated.
No, I'm not. Go back and listen to the original.
I think it went beyond what we thought it was
going to be. Beyond what you thought. Didn't go beyond what I thought possible. Mm-hmm. If you had given me probabilities, it's beyond, like, it would have been in the upper range, like, if you give me odds. But it's not surprising to me.
Okay, so here we go. We have the new cat. I'm never going to be able to keep this up. Star Wars, those first three movies are great. Those last three movies sucked, but the very last movie was really good.
There you go.
Copyright Atlantic Voice.
I don't think you get to do that.
This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.